If you have your Bibles, I hope you brought a notepad because I gave my scriptures to Grace on the media today, and I said, if there's one thing you will not say about Chapel, you will not say we are not a word church. I have several scriptures to give to you today, and so for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through them, but I hope you have a notepad and a pen. I hope you have your Bible. You'll want to write some of these down and use them to study. Today, we're finishing up what is the four-part series of Love God and Love Others, and so today, we're going to be talking about sharing Christ. And so in the last 3 weeks in this series, Love God and Love Others, we are discussing what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments and what carrying out these commandments actually looks like in 2015. And so the passage of scripture we have drawn from is Matthew chapter 22. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Matthew 22, verse 37. And I'm reading in the New International Version, but 22 and 37, the first book of your New Testament, Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so the first 2 weeks of this series, we discussed what loving God looks like. We discussed how important prayer and the word is to our individual personal relationships. Prayer is just simply communicating with God. But I feel like sometimes we miss the simplicity of prayer because we feel like when we pray to God, because we cannot see him, that we just talk incessantly. We've all probably been guilty, or many of us have been guilty of being that incessant talker that just talks, 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 and God love the other person that can't get a word in edgewise. Sheila, you with me? We just talk, 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 talk. Girl, what do you think about that? Well, I think, I know, I thought that too. I thought that, and you're like, oh, okay, can I tell you what I thought, or do you not, you don't want to hear it? Okay, I'll listen. And sometimes we do that to God. We just talk incessantly, but communicating is talking and listening. And so in my own personal life, in my own prayer life, I am learning that I do not always have to be the one talking, because there's no way he can speak to me if I just won't shut up. And sometimes I catch myself in prayer. I'm just talking, God, please, God, can you do this? God, can you do that? And I'm like, just shut up and let him say something to you. So communication is a two-way street. It's me talking, but then also me stopping to listen. And I feel like sometimes I don't stop and listen because sometimes I really don't want to know what he has to say about it. Because as soon as I start feeling like he's going to tell me something, oh, no, 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 that's not what I want you to tell me. No, I don't want to do that. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to forgive them. No, no, I'm not going to go do that. No, 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 let me just. And when we shut up, we have to listen to whatever he's going to say back to us. Prayer is simply just communicating with God. And when you love someone, you want to share things with him. That's the other part of prayer. And Pastor talked about that so great, about sharing, sharing your hurts, sharing your feelings, sharing your struggles, sharing your joys, sharing your communicating back and forth with God. And that's what our prayer life should look like. Communication. I talk. I listen. Listen. He speaks. I share. He shares. And we share very special things to the very core of me, very deep, deep things. That is what prayer is. Amen? The next thing he talked about was the word, that we need to read, we need to know, we need to love the word. And I come across so many people that say, how can I love the word? Because I don't even enjoy reading the word. And I first always thank them. Thank you for your honesty. Because I was that girl raised in church, and at 30 years old, I remember January the 1st, 30 years old, sitting in a recliner that morning, and I was going to get my life together, health-wise, spiritual-wise, and it was very early, I don't know, maybe 5 that morning I woke up, and I took a brand new Bible that I got, and I got a Bible that had maybe a little more common day vernacular. I think it was the Message Bible. And I opened that Bible up, and I just started crying because I was at Genesis 1 and 1 again. And I'm like, I don't enjoy reading this. I don't even know how in the world does creation relate to me in the 21st century. And so I'm sitting there with my Bible open. I'm 30 years old, raised in this. And I know all the stories I'm supposed to know, and I know all certain catchphrases and certain Bible verses. And here I am at 30 years old, and I'm like, I don't even enjoy reading this. And I asked God that morning, God, if you will please let the words on this page come alive to me. Let the script come alive to me. Let it be something more than just ancient writings on ancient pages in some new common day vernacular. And how in the world does Genesis even relate to me today? And I am telling you, out of just a sincere young girl's honest heart, I can now read the Bible and, oh my goodness, this is what that means. So Genesis 1 means process. Everything has a process. Now, what does that mean? Well, the reality is we all know that God could have spoke the entire creation into existence in one day. Don't we know that? Don't we believe that? Hey, why did he just say, let's just create sky and land? Why didn't he say sky, land, flowers, water, rain? He could have done that all in one day. But at the end of every day, when you read the scripture, it says that he paused and he reflected and he said, it is good. What does that mean to me in my life? That at the end of every day or in the seasons of my life, every step that I conquer, what if I just stopped and paused and says, it is good? What if every little success in a troubled marriage, if I just stopped and said, it is good? So what God taught me in Genesis is process. So anyways, I say all that to you to say, if you would take the word of God and open it up and say, God, please help this come alive to me. Help me. Listen, I can't help you just 30 minutes on a Sunday. We can give clarity to certain things and give guidance, but honey, you've got Monday through Saturday. You have got to get in this word. You have got to know. I'm going to tell you, Hollywood and society is going to tell you what they think you need to believe. And if you don't know this, the Bible says every wind and wave of doctrine, you'll be constantly spinning going, oh, that makes sense. Oh, no, that doesn't. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, no, no, no. You better know something to parallel it to. Amen? And so what I began doing in the beginning of 2015 is I began to study the word by, I just went a little old school. If you know anything about Bible quizzing, you would learn verses of the Bible, and then you would go and you would compete and you would quiz on it. And so as a young girl and as a teenager, I would study certain scriptures of the Bible. There may be 420 verses that year or whatever it may be. And so I got away from that. And what I began to do before we even started this series, I just felt a tugging in my heart, like you've got to memorize the word more. Because I'm really good about saying, oh, the word says that his word will not return void. Well, that's great. Where does it say that in the word? Well, give me just a second. Let me get on Google. Me and Google were like that. And y'all laughing because y'all know what I'm talking about. I know it's in there. I know it's in there. Let me Google it just a minute. And then when you get to Google, 9 times out of 10, you're like, well, that was a few words off, but it's close anyways. So I took 3x5 cards, and as I've been reading my Bible, I will see scriptures that just stand out at me. They just catch me like, oh, that is so good. I didn't know that was there. Because that's the other thing. If you think you don't have to read the word and you know it all, there's you a good caution sign, because when we have all the answers, he ceases to be God. I have no problem when people ask me something saying, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to study that and get back to you. Because when you have all the, if you ever talk to someone that has all the answers, just run, Sally, run. Because he ain't God anymore. So I just started to say, oh, that is so good. I didn't know that was in. Oh, that is awesome. I didn't know that reference. And so I'll put Psalm 119 and 5, and I'll flip it over, and I'll write the scripture down so that now I can begin to learn scriptures. My goal is that I would learn at least one a week. Well, then look, at the end of the year, I've learned 52 verses. So I would challenge you to find a way. Somebody else was sharing with me the other day, there's a Bible app that does that. But find ways to study and memorize the word, okay? Study and know the word. And then you begin to pray that word. So sometimes I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, oh, that is so good. Yes, God. And I begin to pray whatever that scripture is. I pray that for my life. I pray that for my spouse. I pray that for my children. I pray that for Chapel Family. And I'm telling you, if you'd begin to pray the word, you'd find yourself praying more than 5 minutes. Because when you pray the word is powerful. Do you hear me? The word is powerful. And the other thing we got to remember, too, is that the Bible says in the last days we're going to be hated for what? Why are we going to be hated? For his name's sake. I was reading an article recently in how there are so many religions infiltrating America, but specifically he was a Muslim. I can't remember his name, but he was so strong in his belief for Allah, and he was going on and on and on about it, and it just hit me. You're going to be hated for my name. When you say, oh, no, 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 there is no other name besides the name of Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you. They're not going to hate you for the way you look. They're not going to hate you for the way you dress. Listen to me. They're not going to hate you for your ideologies and your political sin. They're going to hate you for the very name of Jesus Christ. And at that point, you can't say, oh, wait, wait, just a minute. Let me go to Google and see what Google has to say. Yeah, I know there's only one name, but hang on just a second. Let me go to Google and I'm going to find it. Mm-mm. No. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You better know the Word of God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, students, adults alike, we've got to know what does the Word say about the name of Jesus Christ. That is why we will be hated, for the very name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what we know by heart is what our heart knows. What I know by heart is what my heart knows. And I'm afraid we know a whole lot about Hollywood. We know a whole lot about sports. And what my heart knows is what I know by heart. We've got to know the Word of God. Amen? I pray that we know God, we know His voice, and we know His Word. And then last week, Pastor began the discussion of loving others according to God's Word. And I pulled out of my notes, because I take notes on Sundays, and when he was talking about love your neighbor as yourself, it just kind of hit me. Maybe, could it be that we cannot love our neighbors because I don't even like myself? Maybe we don't love the way we're challenged to love because I don't even like myself. I'm unhappy. I'm so unfulfilled. I am miserable. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm sad. I'm lonely. I'm a victim. And so maybe we do. Maybe we do love our neighbors like we love ourselves. And that is, we don't love. Maybe I don't even go across the street to help my neighbor because I don't even like me. We were singing that song and I jotted the notes down because it really started coming alive to me. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. And then we went into the bridge. He loves me. He loves me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can you look in the mirror and say, He loves me? See, far too often I feel like I'm raising a teenager in this society where everything is what Hollywood projects it to be. Hollywood, schools, society is telling us all kinds of things we have to be. And we are raising students and teenagers and adults that are looking in the mirror saying, I don't like me. I wish I was skinnier. I wish I was bigger. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had. And then you're going and opening up magazines, and I'm telling you, every bit of her is photoshopped. She ain't real. She ain't. Now if I look and see a girl, I'll say, oh, she is pretty. She ain't real. I just move along. When I see him at the gym, I'm like, well, she is real, but something wrong with her. That's something wrong with her. She real, but she really ain't real. Something wrong. Something's going neglected. Y'all know, everybody laughing because y'all been there. But really and truly, if we look in the mirror and say, what does God say that I am? I did a Google search this week, and I just said, what does God say that I am? And it was so amazing, y'all. You don't even have to go and try to find all the scriptures yourself. You can look right there, take the scriptures, go into the Word, and say, God says I am loved. God says I am cared for. God says I matter. God says He died for me. What does God say I am? And listen to me. When I can define myself by who God says I am His child. He cares about every head on my hair. Every hair on my head. But He cares. And then we can begin to define ourselves the way God. Do you see what I'm saying? And when we can like ourselves and say, you know what? I matter to Him. I am important. I have something to share. Then you can go and love your neighbor. But until you like you, you can't do it. It's unhealthy at its finest. It's unhealthy. But then when we begin to love ourselves as God loves us and sees us, then we can be a servant. Then we can put others first. And we can seek to serve Him. How? By serving others. And there's a fulfillment that comes from that. When we take our eyes off of self, and I promise you, if you'll take your eyes off of self, you will find out that somebody has it worse than you. Let me encourage you today. Wherever you are, somebody has it worse. The Bible says there hath no temptation. There's nothing that has come that has not already come on somebody else. But it says, but God is, where's my word people at? It says God is faithful. He is faithful. He will carry you through it. So my prayer today is that God would save us from our selfishness. Save us from our me, woe is me, selfishness that won't lend a helping hand. I was so disturbed this past week, the beginning of the week. My husband and I were going down Polaris, and we were headed to a meeting. And he saw it, and there was a sweet little lady on the side of the road. And so he whips around, and we break the law and do a U-turn. And he goes over there, and she's sitting in the right-hand lane on Polaris. And he gets out, and the car won't start, and so he pushes it. And we're there probably maybe 45 minutes. Nobody stops. Nobody. It's cold, y'all. It was cold. And we get the Suburban up, and we try to jump her battery off, and it won't jump. It's one thing after another. So finally, we put her in our car, and she's just a sweet little old lady. And she says, oh, she was shaking. She says, thank you so much. She said, I have been sitting here for 40 minutes, and nobody has helped me. And they would ride by there, and they would flip me off and tell me to turn on my hazard lights. And I said, I didn't know they didn't work. My hazard lights don't work, and they are cussing me out. And what? What have we come to that 40 minutes she's sitting there, 45 minutes we're sitting there, and an hour and a half later, nobody, y'all, we're in a selfish society that cannot even love each other. We don't walk down the street with a shovel and help somebody. Don't charge them $5, just help somebody. Help somebody. You are going to have to work at love for love to work. Love is a four-letter word. Work is a four-letter word. They're synonymous. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up and saying, I just feel like loving somebody today. I just feel like going out and just standing in the cold and helping somebody charge a battery. That just sounds great today. It's like negative 22 below zero. I'd like to just go see what my face feels like, frostbit. Just be the eyes, the hands, the feet of Jesus. They really don't care what you know until they know how much you care. You're going to have to work at love for love to work. And so pastor, share with us the importance of these commandments. On these two laws hang all of the law and the prophets. On just two hangs all of it. And so in our opening passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus specifically talks to the Pharisees. In 22, he's talking to the Pharisees. Now, let me educate you on what the Pharisees are. The Pharisees at this time are an ancient Jewish sect. They are distinguished by their strict observance of the traditional and the written law, and they commonly held to have pretensions to super sanctity. And so in our modern day vernacular, that would be a self-righteous person or a hypocrite. Now, in our opening scriptures, the Pharisees, they have classified, listen to this, over 600 laws, often trying to distinguish the more important from the least important. So here they're having a quandary. They're saying, okay, God, what is more important and what is not as important out of the 600? So one of them, an expert of the law, I quote, the Bible says, an expert of the law asked Jesus to identify the most important law. And Jesus quotes directly from Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 18. And he says, by fulfilling these two commands, a person keeps all the others. Really? Could it be that easy? That by just loving God and loving others, you would fulfill all the others? That's what he says. They summarize the Ten Commandments and the other Old Testament moral laws into just two. Jesus says, if you truly love God and your neighbor, you will naturally keep the commandments. This is looking at God's law positively. And so rather than worrying about all we should not do, we should concentrate on all that we can do to show our love for God and others. You see, usually, Jesus did not condemn what the Pharisees taught, usually. Study out the scripture. He usually did not condemn what the Pharisees taught. He really didn't have a problem with it. Okay, you want to believe 600 laws? What he condemned is what they were. What does he call them? Hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues, morals, religious beliefs, principles that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose actions belie or contradict their stated beliefs. It is a person who pretends some desirable or publicly approved attitude, especially one whose private life, whose opinions or sentiments belie or contradict his or her public statements. And then we say, what is wrong with America? I'll tell you what's wrong with America. The church. We're rude on the job. We're rude in the grocery store. We're rude when we're driving. We're rude people. I say we because I find myself, what are you doing getting in front of me? And then, oh, God, please don't follow me. Oh, Lord, they're coming down Smothers Road. Oh, I just got to pass by the church. We laugh, but we've all been there. What's wrong with America? God was just that serious about all this love stuff. Oh, it's just love, 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 love. No, he was pretty serious about this love stuff. If you don't have it, he says you're a hypocrite. It's pretty strong. Jim Evans explains it like this. God absolutely loves you, but he disciplines your attitude. He loves you too much to allow you to self-destruct. If he allows you to be immature and unloving, you will never grow up enough to join his army. Love doesn't always feel good. Love is not always as easy as we make it. Nothing else we do matters if we don't have love. Nothing else we say matters if we do not have love. Religion is for nothing without love. And so this week we're talking about one of the best and the most important ways we can show the love to others. How? By sharing the gospel. By sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them. And I said in pre-service prayer, I'm afraid that sometimes the reason why we don't share the gospel is because we don't know the gospel. John 14 and 6, this is the English Standard Version, and I'm hurrying for time, so if you'll just write it down. John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Listen to me, there are wages for sin. Sin is fun. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin, there's pleasure in sin. I'm not going to lie. There's pleasure in sin. Enjoy, yes. But it's for but a season. But then the wages of it is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news that God provides a way for man to be freed from the penalty of sin. But not all people are going to be saved from hell. Only those who place their faith in Jesus Christ will go to heaven when they die. Acts 4 and 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven. There is no other God. There is no salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so sharing the gospel is oftentimes a difficult topic. And so what are the reasons that some might say, well, I don't know about sharing Christ. I think that religion is so personal that maybe we shouldn't discuss it. I don't like people who are fanatical about their religion. It's a big turnoff. It just kind of weirds me out. I don't want them to think I'm trying to force something on them or that I'm too radical or that. And so we don't share it. That's just never really a good time. It's a little too... But there are many, many reasons why we should and we must share Jesus Christ. Number one, it's the very heart of God. Jesus came and he perfectly lived out a life of suffering, shame, and ultimately death in order to save the lost. I found myself the past few weeks looking and saying, what if I was one of those 21 Christians? I hope you looked at that and said, well, what could I do that? Oh, I could absolutely do that, but we can't walk across the street and share them with our neighbor. We can't walk across the aisle at work and say something positive. The Bible says that the life of Christ is with suffering, shame, and ultimately death. But it's in order to save the lost. Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, to seek them and to save them. God does not want anyone to spend eternity apart from him. He doesn't want it. Is it going to happen? Absolutely. But it's not the plan of the Father. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want any to perish, but they're going to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. It's the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned each of us. Jesus commissioned every single person, from the youngest to the oldest. He commissioned us each to share the gospel and to seek the lost. We're too busy. I don't have time to go out there and seek. That takes time. Because what you can't do is you can't go say, hey, you are lost, buddy. What you're doing is a sin and blah, 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 blah. Really? It may take a little more time. It may take maybe developing a friendship. Brandon, I always say there's so much power in, hey, can we meet for coffee? There's so much power in that. But it takes 45 minutes or an hour of my time. These were his last commands before he left earth. The very last commands Jesus left. Matthew 28 and 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what is the name? Jesus Christ. Baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the name of the Father, the name of the Son. He said to go. He said to make disciples, and he told us what to do. He didn't tell us how to do it. How we want to do it is strictly open. How you choose to share the gospel is open. He didn't say, well, you have to do it in the altar. You have to do it on Sunday at 11 o'clock. You have to, no. It's open. See, we say, well, the pastor needs, no. This is the church body. Woo-hoo. This is the church. The church is all out here. We got to be the church. We've got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark 16 and 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We struggle there. Every creature, I don't care what they look like. I struggle there. Well, they look a little different. They believe something else. I don't like what they do. I don't like, we don't get a choice. Every creature, I don't care what they look like, how they act. He says you got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes we can't preach it to every creature because we can't even walk across and shake their hand and smile at them and say, we can't even. Whew, y'all leaving me out here by myself. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Do we really care about the gospel? And these signs shall follow them. I love this. They shall follow them that believe. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How do we know we're a believer? Study verses 17 and 18. The other reason why we share the gospel is because there is an eternity. I feel like we've lost that. And last month I got to speak on that. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And I feel like we're living in light of eternity and we're not believing it. We're not believing it. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And the need for people to hear the good news of God's love and forgiveness is literally a matter of life or death. It literally is. And it hinges on us that sit in this room. It hinges on every person that calls himself a Christian and a Christ follower and a believer. It hinges on us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the mouth of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 7 and 2 says that death is the destiny of everyone, and the living should take this to heart. Church, men and women are lost without him, with no hope of eternal life. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts 4, Peter and John, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, they're in Jerusalem, and they're talking to some very prominent people. They're rulers and elders and priests, and they're telling them about this man named Jesus. Acts 4 and 12, we read it earlier, they're telling him there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by we must be saved. It is the greatest gift. You and I, if we know Christ, if we are filled with his Spirit, it is the greatest gift. And so if we have in our possession the greatest gift available to any human being, if we have in our possession God's gift of eternal life, the Holy Spirit living in us, peace that surpasses all understanding, then why in the world are we not sharing this amazing gift with others? And so if I come to the point where I am not sharing this gift with others, then I have to look inwardly in myself and say, do I have it? Because if I have it and I'm not sharing, I'm stingy and I'm selfish. If I asked you, what is the most important thing to you? What is the most important, monumental, life-changing experience of your life? More times than not, we say, people will say, well, it's very important to me, my children. Or what's the most life-changing experience to you? Maybe my marriage. But then oftentimes to a Spirit-filled believer, they'll say, it was when I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. When I had that moment of consecration, that moment of transformation, that moment of salvation, that's likely a very popular answer. And so why would we not want to share this experience with others and see others experiencing this? Because when I'm experiencing it, I can't help but share it. Sweetheart, let me tell you about something that can change your life. Let me tell you about something that can empower you, that can help you. Let me tell you about what I have. But I can't tell you about it if I don't have it. I can't tell you about it if I'm not experiencing it. Oh, I can tell you about the games because I'm experiencing it. I can tell you about politics because I'm reading up on it. I can tell you about my job because I'm doing it every day because it's what I'm doing. So if I'm experiencing Jesus Christ, I can share it. We take a dream vacation to Cancun or Colorado or wherever your place of dreams may be. Anywhere warm, I'm certain it is today. And so you return, and what do? If you have this amazing experience, you don't come back and say, how was your trip? How was that time away? Especially if it's given to you. Here is you, $12,000, go have the time of your life, and you come back and go, I don't care how quiet you are in here. Oh, my God, it was amazing. It was so warm. It was sunny. The sun was on my face. The sand was in my toes. I just got to tell you about it. And then I didn't have to pay a penny for it. Girl, it was given to me. You ought to see where I stayed, what I drove, where I did. I mean, come on. How much greater is this experience compared to any other gift that is given to us? We've got to spread the word of Jesus Christ. It's one more way to show our love for God and for our neighbors. John 14, 21, he says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. If we really love God, we are to follow his commands. He clearly commanded us to share his love, to share the gospel. And as a bonus, he promises to show off. He promises to reveal himself to us as we obey these commands. The other day, we were at Giamarco's. I just love when God shows off. We were at Giamarco's with our board, and Sister Smith or Brother Smith pointed out that our waitress, we love her. We ask for her when we go, and she had been in a boot for 6 months, and she had some terrible accident, and glass fell on her foot, and so she had been in this boot for 6 months. She was in a lot of pain. She said, it's just not healing. They tell me, I got to stay off of it. I can't stay off of it because of financial, and so I just said, I wouldn't want to embarrass you for anything, but would you just come over here? Now, listen to me. I'm not preaching. My God, and you're right in the restaurant. They're like going, my Lord, what in the world? He says, do everything decently and in order. So I said, you know, I just got the table's attention, and I said, can we just pray for her? I said, I just believe that there is a God that can heal you, and he will heal you. And we just grabbed her hands, and we just prayed very calmly, God, we believe in you. You said that you are a healer. We believe you're a healer. And you know the knee with this girl's foot. We pray in the name of Jesus, the all-powerful name of Jesus. I enunciate the name of Jesus. You are all-powerful. You are a healer. Heal this girl's foot. And that's it. We didn't shake a bow shire and run her all over the restaurant. And I didn't need to work a miracle. He's the miracle worker. Went in there. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, she came right over. She said, I got to tell you, the very next day, 2 days, whatever I text y'all, remind me. 2 days later, I wore heels for the first time in 6 months, and I have not had any more pain in my foot. It is healed. It is. Friends, that's not me. That's the God that you and I serve. He heals. He will show off if you'll give him an opportunity. He's just saying, my God, you're my child. Would you just give me an opportunity? It simply looks like just going over to your coworker and saying, you're sick in the name of Jesus. God, you are a healer. We pray that you heal this girl right now. Heal her, Jesus. She is your child. In Jesus' name. And just go on back to your desk. He does it. He does it. His name. He does all the work. We don't have to do it. Honey, how's your leg feeling? It's still hurting. Well, in Jesus' name, God, do it. Do it. We believe you. We're so scared that he's not going to do it. He does it. We have a specific commandment from Jesus to go and share the good news. It is both a duty and a privilege to be able to fulfill his mission. We witness. Why? Because we love Christ. We witness. Why? Because he loves us. We witness because we want to honor and obey him. We witness because he gives us a special love for others. And if you don't have that love, I pray, get on your knees. God, please move me with compassion for the lost, for the millions who are lost and cannot find their way. Melt my callous heart with love, no matter what the cost. That's what we don't want. It cost us something, Loida. Yes, it cost. Why does a church exist? It's not a social club. That's not why we're here. Thank you for being here. We exist as a body of believers that come together with like faith and get a message on Sunday and inspiring worship and then go out there and say, my God, I got a world to save. I come in here on Sundays and hear great testimonies, and I'm empowered by the body of believers and home groups on midweek, and I am so empowered. It's like shots in the arm. You can do this. You can keep going. You can go after it. We exist so that people far and wide who do not know God are not in relationship with him, that they will come to know him, and they'll be raised to life in Christ. We have to engage. We have to engage coworkers and neighbors and moms and dads and children and students, every individual, every week and on weekends. And on Sunday, it is my mission to empower the body of Christ to know who you serve, to know who you are, and then take that empowering and go out through those doors and go share it with the world. I'm telling you, I took my father-in-law to the neighborhood, and I said, I can't hate the snow. The snow crosses all boundaries. If you will work for love, it will work for you. I drove him through the neighborhood and said, look at that. He don't live there. He lives down there, and he's shoveling her. And community is happening. And instead, we curse the very thing that sometimes God gives us to bring community. Listen to me. We curse things that God says, here you go. Here's you an opportunity to talk to your neighbors. Here's you an opportunity to talk to your coworkers. It's powerful. God, just give me an opportunity, God. If you'll open the door, I'll take it. And he's like, I just opened about 20 for you yesterday. But it's clothed in W-O-R-K. But if you'll work it, it'll work for you. Satan, through his lies, is promising the world life, but he can only give them death because there is no life in him. There's no life in him. And so how will they know if we don't tell them? How will they know if we don't show them? How will they know if we don't lead them? Think of just one person, and I'm going to close. But think of just one person. Close your eyes for a moment. one person that doesn't appear to know him. Can you think of one person? I'm going to venture to say it's probably that coworker that gets on your last nerve. It's probably that neighbor that doesn't cut their yard and tend to their flower beds. It's probably to that person that looks very different from you. It's probably that person that gets under your skin, is annoying, is hateful, is mean. You see their face? Can you hear that annoying voice? They have a name. They have a heart. They have a soul. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I'm not afraid. You can't be afraid. If you're sitting here and you say, I've experienced the power of Jesus Christ, I've been baptized in the name of Jesus, I speak in tongues. If you're full of the Spirit, you have power. If you're full of the Spirit, you have love. If you're full of the Spirit, you have a sound mind. And so be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. We sang a wonderful song in the worship set, and it said, we are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. A light attracts attention. A city on a hill attracts attention. So what are they seeing when they see us? Are they seeing Jesus? Or are they saying, my God, I'm not even saved and I act better than that. I don't even claim to be saved and I'm kinder than that. Do you hold the door open? Just simple things. We gotta shine. What are we shining? Constantly pessimistic, negative? Or are we shining? We can do all things through Christ, honey. I know it's tough right now. But we, you and me, together in Jesus' name, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. I'm not afraid. Is the world a mess? You better believe it. Is the news a mess? You better believe it. I was just reading the other day where the Greece leader now is of Jewish descent and claims to be an atheist. Is the world a mess? You better believe it. But I'm not afraid, because greater is he that is in me, that is in you, than he that is in the world. And so it is time, as the body of Christ, to exercise the love of Jesus and to begin to share the gospel like we have never shared the gospel before. The gospel is not just what your opinion and your philosophy is. The gospel is the infallible word of Jesus Christ that is timeless. You can argue with me on my opinion. You can argue with me on my view, but you cannot argue the name of Jesus. It stands alone. It stands on himself. We got to find one person. Close your eyes. See that one person. One person. All I'm challenging us to is one person. One person. There's an old song that says, if only each one would just reach one. And then those two would find someone new. Reaching out would never be through. And if only my hand would touch your hand, and then your hand would touch another man's, what would our reaching finally do? If only each one would just reach one today. If only each one would just reach one, and then those two would find someone new. Reaching out would never be through. And if only my hand would touch your hand, and then your hand would touch another man's, what would our reaching finally do? If only each one would just reach one today. Lord, how's the world going to change? How's the world going to change? It's a mess. If only each one would just reach one, and then those two would find someone new, what would our reaching finally do? If only my hand would touch your hand, and then your hand would touch another man's, reaching out would never be through. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of the living God, the only God, the only wise God, all-powerful, all-knowing God, the only one that changes lives, the only power that changes supernaturally. God, forgive us for frustrating ourselves in the natural, what we cannot do, what we cannot change, and not tapping into the supernatural. Forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for not being full of the Spirit and speaking the gospel of truth. So as a collective body of believers today, Father, we acknowledge our need for you. We acknowledge our need for your Spirit and your power and your wisdom and your words and your direction and your instruction. Break in on us, God. Break in on us. Break in on us. And empower us. Enable us. Equip us through the Holy Spirit to be your agents that change this world. In my own ability, I cannot do it. In your own ability, you cannot do it. But agents of Jesus Christ is greater than any power of this world. And we possess it. We know it. Help us to be agents that change our communities, change our jobs, change our homes and our families and our friendships, change our neighborhoods by sharing the light of the good news, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I don't believe in that. No, I don't believe in this. But I believe in a God who can overcome that sin. I believe in a God who can overcome that addiction. I know a God who can heal your marriage. I know a God who can heal your sexual addictions and your problems. It's not so much telling them that's wrong. Let me tell you what is so right about a God that I know. Father, in the name of Jesus, quicken our minds this moment, God, while your Spirit is so resident in this place. Quicken our minds. Convict our hearts. Show us the people. Give us the power through your Spirit to overcome our fear and our anxiety, to overcome our emotions and our feelings of worthlessness. And let us seize daily opportunities to connect with coworkers, to connect with neighbors, to connect with your sons and daughters, your children that are not in relationship with you, who you died for the whole world, regardless of race and ethnicity. Regardless of their own agendas, you died for them, Father. Help us to feel the weight of eternity, to feel the weight of the end times that we live in, and to be compelled by love to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. to share you. If only each one would just reach one, and then those two would find someone new, reaching out would never be through. If only my hand would touch your hand, and your hand would touch another man's, what would our reaching finally do? If only each one would just reach one today. Do you see that one? Do you see that one? I see that one. I see that two. I see their children. And I see my hand reaching and touching. What does it look like? How are you going to do it? God, give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know. Maybe it's a hot meal. Maybe it's a shovel. Maybe it's a kind word. Maybe it's a smile. God, give us the wisdom and the knowledge of how to show and express your love. And then God, give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to express the gospel of Jesus Christ. The woman at the well, the adulterous woman, it doesn't say that he said, go and sin no more. No, the first thing he did is it says he didn't condemn her. And he told her to go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her. My friend, I know you're living in sin. My friend, I know you don't believe in the Christ that I believe in. I don't condemn you. But I share the gospel with you that you may go and sin no more. Can we stand all over the building? There's such a power in unity. And so in the closing moments of this service, would you take your neighbor's hand? I would love to see it connected all over the building. So would you just step across the aisle and connect? Thank you. Father, I pray over this group of people that stand in this room. Thank you for your dedicated children who know you, who serve you, who no doubt love you. Thank you for reminding us yet again of our purpose, of why we are here. Why you have called us, why you have created us, why we have been saved from sinfulness. Forgive us for our self-righteousness. Forgive us, God. Help us with our inability to somehow cross cultural barriers and ethnic barriers and philosophical barriers. God, forgive us. Forgive us. Help us to know in whom and what we believe. And help us to be compelled by the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ more than any other method, more than any other reason, God. Empower your people today. Empower us, God. Let us be your hands. Let us be your feet. Let us be your eyes. Let us be your mouth. Let us be your heart. Let us be the conduit that you flow through to touch your people. Help us, God. Help us to feel the weight of the world, the weight of the sin, the weight of eternity. Let us not rest easy on it. Every time we open our mouth to speak negative, convict us, God. Convict me. I got to do something. I got to do something with what I've been given. And so empower us as we stand together as a body of believers, hand in hand. We need each other. Help us to pull from the power of unity that sits in this building. And if just each one of these people goes and reach one, the power of change that is going to come in our community and come in our world, I speak it in the name of Jesus. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I believe it in the name of Jesus. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And so, chapel all over the building, would you just raise your hands in a universal sign of surrender and say, God, I give myself away. I give myself to you, to the gospel and the mission of Jesus Christ. I will be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will share the love of God, and I will share with my neighbors and my coworkers. I will share the gospel. Help me to experience the gospel in more unprecedented ways. Let me be full of your Spirit, full of your anointing, full of your power that it flows out of me into everyone I come in contact with. Thank you, Father. I don't want to move from this moment too quick. I think it's so important that in our minds we grasp hold of what the word that we've heard, and that in our minds we begin to see it lived out on Monday. In our minds, we already prepare our minds and our spirits for what that's going to look like on Monday. How's it going to look on Tuesday? How's it going to look on Wednesday? And let us tap not into our natural abilities because we can't do it, but tap into our supernatural ability, the supernatural power of God. Oh, there's such a beautiful Spirit of God in here. And I feel like there's maybe one or two of you that would say, I don't have it in my own ability. I admit I don't have it in my natural ability, but I need the supernatural power of God. And so if you're standing in this room right now and you would be so honest to say, Lloyd, I just don't know about that supernatural that you're talking about, but I want prayer for it. If you would just be so bold to stand to the front. If you would just come down here, there are people that will pray with you. Maybe you're standing in your seat and you would be so honest and say, I just don't know how to do it on my own. Would you just pray for me? Would you pray for me? It is not in your own ability to do it, but it's the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about. Thank you, Derek, if you pray with him. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your children. Thank you for the power that lies in your word. Thank you for the power that lies in your name. There's a beautiful presence of God that is hovering here right now. Would you allow it just to move in and through you? I don't want to get too much in a hurry here. We're talking about things that are going to change the world. We're talking about things that are going to change our own lives, our homes, our marriages, our families. We can't get too much in a hurry.